Hello, you Awakening Wonders. They're on Spotify, Apple, Stink Whistle, Gurgle Dot, or wherever you download your podcast these days to remain at least peripherally connected to some tendril of truth in a bewildering miasma of lies and propaganda. We appreciate you and we love you. You're part of our community. So that's why we're very happy to give you an audio version of our live Rumble show 5 days a week. It's on Monday to Friday. We decipher the latest news stories. We break down current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. And if they aren't, then we critique why they're not and what they are covering. Every week as well, right? We do brilliant conversations with people like Jordan Peterson, RFK, Tucker Carlson, Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate. These things are already up and you can listen to them now. So remember, this is an audio version of our daily live show. To tune in live, go to rumble.com/Russell Brand. You'll find it easily and I hope that you will love it. Now please enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Thanks.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining us today for Stay Free with Russell Brand. And complicated though the world may be, on some level, it's simply a Wednesday in infinite space. And we are going to discuss the issues you care about. When I say you, I mean those of you joining us right now in the Rumble chat, like Sean Keane saying the port of Baltimore is now closed. Many of you are contemplating, considering and reflecting on recent events, looking at that moment where the ship struck the bridge in Baltimore and questioning, is it a cyber attack or is it precisely as it's explained? And are we even allowed to discuss such matters? I put the same thing to you, you Awakened Wonders, over there on locals like MCMT and Sir Smiles a Lot and Tolson and Rational Anarchy. Are we allowed to have opinions these days? Particularly when we now know that the Moscow terror attacks have complex origins, even if those complex origins are simply the fact that to a degree ISIS is a CIA creation. Of course, we will also be discussing along with you reality broadcast system about Diddy. We'll be talking about Diddy and these recent allegations and accusations, which he strenuously denies, but many of the theories around him are confusing and concerning. We'll be talking about that later when we are no longer available on YouTube, because although we like to stream broadly as we attempt to create a movement where independently we are free to discuss issues that define our culture, our planet, and our politics, we know we can't do that on YouTube because Google, and you're going to love this story now, they're handing over data to government investigators regarding who's watching what video. There's more to it than that, but that's basically the outlines, and we'll be getting right into it in a minute, and it's exciting, and by God, you're right to be excited. We'll be looking at Tucker on Julian Assange, and Andrew Huberman has been hit up hard for the crime of being a person that is not married and appears to be having multiple lovers. Is there more to it than that? Is it because Andrew Huberman is part of a male wellness movement that encourages men to get strong and get well? And on that front, how come Bobby Kennedy is being subject to such significant attacks? And how come the Democratic Party establishment are arming up with lawyers? They've gone after Trump. Now they're going after third-party candidates. They don't want anyone on that ballot but Biden. So we'll be with you on YouTube for about another 15 minutes. Then it's off to that sweet stream of freedom. Hey, guys, have you seen this glorious garment? Would you like one of these? Would you like to see yourself lustily adorned? And is it allowed for a person like me to endorse a product, all profits of which, by the way, go towards helping people with addiction issues and mental health issues getting well and getting better? I mean, because according to Liz Cheney, Donald Trump shouldn't be doing this. He can't sell Bibles. Cheney suggests he reads the verse on adultery. I suggest she reads the many verses that are against war and corruption that might call the actions of her father into considerable account. Mike Tyson is selling gummies shaped like I want some of those gummies. That is the way to go, isn't it? Are they like cannabis gummies that are shaped like ears, even with the butt? I mean, that's a good mold. They've done a bloody good job there. Tucker is talking about Julian Assange. You'll love this. He's actually reflecting on a Glenn Greenwald tweet. And that's not a little post, rather. That's not the last time we'll be citing Glenn Greenwald today. The fact that any of this is even in question is shocking. Biden is actually considering the death penalty for journalism. Yes, he is. Where are all the liberals at CNN, NBC News and the Washington Post? Totally shameful. Our country is similar. Where are the voices for free press, for free speech, for the right to criticise and expose corruption? Sadly, no longer with us. UK court hands Assange a partial victory, is how Greenwald's describing it in the Biden DOJ's attempt to extradite him. US must provide explicit assurances that Assange, one, can raise a First Amendment defence, two, will have the same rights as a US citizen, because of course he's Australian, and three, will never face the death penalty. It's a subject that we'll continue to do our best to report openly on for as long as this matter remains unresolved, and we pray for the freedom of Julian Assange. I'm sure you join us in those prayers. We asked you regarding the Moscow attack. We're going to just jump into this for a moment because we're exploring it in incredible detail later in the show. You're going to absolutely love this story. Before we get into the Baltimore Bridge, before we get into Diddy, before we get into Huberman, before we get into serious trouble for talking about the way that the tech world supports the state, let's have a little look at what you guys thought when it comes to the terror attack in Moscow. Let's have a look. Oh no, that's not the poll. Four is the poll, excuse me. If you had to bet your life, who did the Moscow terror attack? A, ISIS, B, Ukraine deep state, C, dissidents from former Soviet territories working with Ukraine and CIA intelligent funding. That's what a lot of people think. And I think gone are the days when we blindly and blithely trust the views of the establishment media. Even when it comes to Mike Tyson biting a little bit of Evander Holyfield's ear off, No Money Music goes, Holyfield was headbutting Tyson. There's two sides to every story, even the story where Mike Tyson bit just a small amount of Evander Holyfield's ear off. I mean, come on. Okay, so top Russian officials have directly accused Ukraine and the West of being involved in the deadly Moscow concert hall attack after it was claimed by the Islamic State group. IS has released video of the atrocity, but Putin and two close allies have claimed the jihadists were helped by Western and Ukrainian intelligence. Ukraine has rejected Russia's lies. The scenario is all the more unlikely because the US had warned Russia of an imminent attack 15 days earlier. Do you think that makes it unlikely or more likely? Isn't that kind of an alibi? So if you think that the US warning Russia of the imminent attack 15 days earlier, do you think that makes it more likely they were involved or less likely? Just put M or L, depending. And this is, of course, BBC, state funding, taxpayer supported state media, of course. Let's have a look now at an interesting perspective from Scott Ritter on ISIS, on the Moscow attacks and its potential origins. And again, we'll be covering this later in the show in a way that's, I'm really pleased with it, actually, because when you think about what caused ISIS, it's, yeah.
This was not an ISIS attack. First of all, the way it came out through a press service. ISIS normally releases reports about attacks that it was directly involved in through their central branch, but this was done through the press service, which means that it's after the fact that ISIS is saying these people were motivated by ISIS, so we're going to take credit for it. But if you take a look at the photographs that they use, when was the last time you saw ISIS martyrs blur their face? They don't blur their face because they don't care, because they're dead. These guys blurred their face because they were hoping to escape. When was the last time you had an ISIS attack say, we're going to carry out this attack and then we're going to try and get away, that we're doing it for money, not for a desire to become a martyr? ISIS was a deliberate...
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, did you? Like, ISIS, they're, oh, get away from me, ah! I'm going to live a good life after this. I don't want you ruining my job prospects by publishing my photograph after this terror attack. I'm going to start a new life as a zookeeper or a submarine captain. ISIS don't care. That's fantastic. That's, of course, taken from George Galloway's show. If you want to watch our brilliant interview with George Galloway, it's already up. And if you're an awakened wonder, that means a member of our locals community, you could have watched that live and posed questions to George Galloway. We regularly interview important innovators in the political and cultural space in our ongoing quest to form new alliances from people across the political spectrum that are anti-establishment and determined to bring them down. That's why, of course, we continue to support Bobby Kennedy's campaign. How do you feel about Bobby Kennedy now? Do you think his selection of Nicole Shanahan as VP means that, what do you think of her as a choice? Do you think this is positive or negative, P or N? Because, of course, she was married to a former Google entrepreneur, should we say that? Or You know, or do you think that the way that the system is rigged means that they have to have ways of financing these political movements? And when you see how complex it is for a third party or independent candidate to make moves in this establishment-dominated world, you will perhaps be sensitive to the complexities of both Trump and Kennedy when it comes to the kind of financial alliances that appear to be present. Let's let Scott Ritter play out, because what he's saying is totally fascinating. And you know now that we'll touch on Bobby Kennedy, and then we'll move into the Baltimore boat story.
Cover story crafted by Ukrainian intelligence to mislead. And I believe the United States is involved, because the first thing the United States did before anybody knew anything is said, ISIS did this.
Okay, so Bobby Kennedy has named tech lawyer Nicole Shanahan as vice president pick. RFK supports, so Shanahan's selection could broaden his appeal. What do you lot think in the chat? Let me know, guys. I'd be interested to hear. Now, when that boat struck the Baltimore Bridge, most of us immediately assumed, oh, well, this is just a driver error. But of course, the world being as it is these days, so continually fraught with doubt. Is the sound okay, guys? Let me know, Negligent Banana. What are you doing over there, Negligent Banana? You're in the wrong chat. Get over there into the Awakened One chat, because this is a time of ongoing cyber attacks and we never know when they're going to happen. I mean, what looks extraordinary is the acute angle at which the boat turns, and also the manner in which the lights go on and off. Let's turn the sound up just on the off chance there's something up with the sound, guys, if you don't mind, because look at this. This is the age of the cyber attack. We could be being cyber attacked right now. Rumble are under perennial and constant attack. And maybe it's possible, at least worth considering, that all is not what it seems when an interesting cultural event such as this one takes place. Here we go. That does look a little odd. There's no audio in this clip, guys. Bloody hell, yeah, it does look sort of strange the way it goes down, doesn't it? Okay, of course, Joe Biden can be relied upon to have some extraordinary recollections about Baltimore's bridge. What is it called? The Francis Collins Bridge. What's the name of the bridge?
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times.
Francis Scott, thank you. He's been over it many, many times. Just give us a few reflections on your many trips across the Francis Collins Bridge, would you?
Commuting from the state of Delaware in our train or by car.
There's no train tracks on it. Here's Baltimore's mayor. He's right young.
Everyone, this is a tragedy.
Because he's so young, frankly. This is interesting. It's already been announced that the Biden administration are going to pay for it. The federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing the bridge. Why isn't the insurance company of that vessel paying for any part of the damages? Why would the federal government foot the bill? That's interesting. Here's Joe Biden making the same claim.
It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt.
Do you think that's unusual? I mean, it is unusual, but do you think it's something that we have to inquire about? Shepherd Servant, that was the mayor. Yeah, the mayor's just like a young guy, just cracking on. Do you remember when that East Palestine train crash took place, how long it took the Biden administration to interact with it? Just a very unusual event and an unusual response. Now, look, there are some interesting theories, and some of them are, I don't know, look, this is because, you know, there was that movie on Netflix that was produced by Barack Obama that talked about a cyber event, and you're probably familiar with the phenomena of, for example, if you've seen the footage of all of those tumbling towers in films and cultural artifacts that were made prior to 9/11. This is a bit like that, I figure. This is a sort of a still of from that Obama movie about cyber attacks, you know, Leave the World Behind. Cyber attack causes massive ship container to lose power and crash. So, you know, people have sort of pointed out similarities. And Jim Corsetti over there on X, he's astonished by the number of potential coincidences. What's clearly not a coincidence is that people that operate inside the male wellness space appear to be subject to a good many attacks. Could this be because figures like Joe Rogan and Andrew Huberman recommend a kind of empowering lifestyle, personal autonomy, fitness, strength? Some would argue perhaps a return to some traditional male values, although these values, I would argue, would be great values for anyone, male or female, to pursue. Andrew Huberman has, of course, been subject to an astonishing hit piece from a legacy media outfit that seems to have at its core little more to offer than he is a man, he is not married, he sleeps with multiple people, and we've turned this into the most negative, disastrous appraisal of a person imaginable. When you consider, and this will seem like less of a stretch in a minute, the way that the present establishment is reliant on big food and big pharma, the way that the legacy media reports on figures like Andrew Huberman becomes more significant. We'll be showing you something in a moment from Bobby Kennedy talking about who was especially vulnerable during the COVID period and how if we were to change our lifestyle, if we were to change our diets, if we were to become stronger, healthier, autonomous, if we were not to be a world full of sick people, in Bobby Kennedy's words about your country, a nation of sick and fat people, if we were to come well, instead of regarding fitness and health as somehow fascistic, we wouldn't be such willing dupes, would we, for big food and their sugary, syrupy filth that they keep us sick and addicted to. So let's have a look at the Huberman story, which amounts to a significant attack on a man who it appears has consensual sex with women. So there's the story out of a magazine in New York for sort of like, you know, professional intelligentsia establishment folks. Here's Glenn Greenwald's comment. I've never listened to Andrew Huberman, don't know much about him, but I kept reading this endlessly gossipy article in this shit magazine, waiting for even a single revelation about his private adult life that merited public interest or knowledge, and never found a single one. Saga and Jetty goes into more detail and talks about how he has a friendship with Andrew Huberman. I've never spoken to Andrew Huberman, but I know what it's like to be attacked by the legacy media and the lengths that they will go to conspire and construct stories designed to destroy. I know about that, obviously, from personal experience. Now, what Saga says about Huberman is that essentially he's just a fit, well guy giving people information and knowledge based on good, legit science that encourages a healthy lifestyle. Why would he be subject to such extraordinary attacks, particularly when the investigation duplicitously began with contact with Huberman, claiming that what was going to be written was a fair and somewhat flattering piece? Here's a saga talking about it. A few months ago, New York Magazine published a practical guide to polyamory, and yet they're somehow concerned about the sexual mores of the married, most popular health podcaster in the world. What is it exactly about that, that's about this subject that's captured them? So there you go. He's, you know, seems to make sense in lots of ways. Complete bullshit, he described it as. So what kind of media agenda is there when it comes to big food and perpetuating bad diets, preventing us from becoming healthy? Why is it during the coronavirus period it weren't possible to talk about getting fit, getting well, eating healthy, natural immunity, vitamin D, exercise? Why was it never accurately covered that the people that were dying from coronavirus, even if you don't want to get into, because we're still on YouTube, the impact of vaccines, the impact of lockdown, the potential agenda to increase regulation and authoritarianism, why were we not simply discussing, other than Joe Rogan right from the get-go, the fact that if you're fit and strong and healthy, you've got a better chance of surviving not only COVID, but any number of conditions? Why is it that the health organizations in your country that support diabetes or people with diabetes accept money from Big Food. The same can be said about Big Food. The same can be said about the organizations that provide support and advice to cancer patients and heart disease patients. I'm citing the work of the filmmaker Kip Anderson, of course, who pointed out that Big Food has to a degree captured and funds the organizations that are supposed to give us true information about processed food. You, being a member of our community, will be familiar with the work of Callie Means, who has informed us numerous times, plain as day, that the food we're eating is fundamentally a poison. That's why the legacy media go to extraordinary lengths to continually portray Bobby Kennedy as a conspiracy theorist and anti-vaxxer, when in fact they know there's a lot more to him than just his name. We'll be talking a little more about the establishment's attempts to shut down independent political movements as well as independent media voices. But here's a reminder of some of the things that Bobby Kennedy has said about health and wellness, and perhaps why the establishment continues to fear him. If you're watching us on YouTube, we'll be there for a little while longer. But our conversations about Diddy, our conversations about the legacy media's control of independent politics and independent media figures, and significantly, our reporting on the Moscow terror attack, ISIS, the deep state, Ukrainian deep state forces, that will be on after we leave. So get ready to click the link in the description and join us on Rumble for a lot more independent, open-minded, open-hearted reporting. Let's have a look at what Bobby Kennedy said in particular about the people that died of or from or with or near or by COVID, or whatever you're supposed to call it if you're on the legacy media.
During COVID, we had 16% of the COVID deaths in the United States of America. We only have 4.2% of the world's population. We had the worst record of any country on earth. I don't know why people are getting awards for this. Because whatever they did was wrong. The CDC says, well, the reason it's not our fault, it wasn't mismanagement of COVID, it's because we have the sickest people on earth in this country. The fattest people on earth, the sickest people on earth are here. And they said the average person, this is what CDC says, the average person who died from COVID had 3.8 chronic diseases. So they had diabetes, they had obesity, they had asthma, and they had one other thing, right? No, that's what killed them. It was the chronic disease that took them to the top of the cliff and put them over the side, and COVID just stepped on their fingers, and dropped them.
What is the relationship between Big Food and the legacy media? How reliant on Big Food conglomerates' advertising dollars are the legacy media? How necessary is it ideologically for us to have a passive population of bloated, lost, and essentially poisoned individuals that are unable to organize and disobey? Why are we not having conversations about processed food and its negative impact? And why is it that when figures emerge out of the wellness independent media space that tell you, hey, one thing you can do, start eating healthy. Maybe you don't need to take so many vaccines, take so many drugs if you stop eating processed food. And I'm not even talking about this from a meat or not meat or not vegan perspective. Healthy whole foods. Is there an agenda across the world to crush agriculture, crush farming, get us eating particular foods that are controlled centrally? You tell me. One thing's for sure, information is in a chokehold, and Google has been ordered to identify who watched certain YouTube videos. And this ongoing manipulation of information continues to me to be a source of fascination. Let's have a look. US federal law enforcement and courts have gone a step further in the extreme efforts they are making to surveil people's activities online, including on Google's vast platforms. The latest is that the tech giants get orders to identify all people who happen to be watching certain videos or live streams on YouTube. After directly live streams, what? That's us. That's us right now. Right. Change your email. Put a hat on. Take the tinfoil hat right off of your head and put a cap. Get off YouTube. They're spying on you. I knew it. I knew it. In the holy name of Jesus, click the link in the description. Come off YouTube. Right, we can't stay here for another second. You're not safe. Put the countdown on. We got so much more to tell you about. We've got, like, if you become an Awakened Wonder now, the exclusive video this week, chemtrails, and it's brilliant. The exclusive video next week, MK Ultra, and what it tells us about how the establishment regard us. You know what they see us as? They regard us as malleable fools, and they want to control our consciousness, and they're spying on us right now. Ah, click the link in the description. Join us on Rumble. We ain't spying on you. We believe in you, baby. You need pink beanies? We got pink beanies. Check these things out. Well, we'll click the link in the description. Get over here, you. We've got some great stories coming up. Oh, I got myself all worked up there. Let's go back to that Google story if we can. We've got some great guests coming up later in the week. We've got Neil Oliver, my friend. Do you watch Neil Oliver? What a fantastic reporter and voice he is. So the latest is the tech giants get orders to, to identify all people who happen to be watching certain videos or live streams on YouTube. That was you a second ago. Thank God you're here. Let's wrap you in one of them aluminium foil blankets that marathon runners get and keep you safe in this sweet stream of freedom. After directly censoring creators and channels, yep, giving geolocation data of its users, yep, to the authorities in response to controversial geofencing warrants, didn't even know about that. This is a new, can you tell me what geofencing warrants are, guys? Let me know what that is in the chat. This is a new example of how Google can be used and abused in dragnet-style investigations. That's not to mention the reporting of Robert Epstein, who tells us how they are continuing to create news feeds that control the way that we perceive both political parties of the two we're allowed to choose between. Unmasking everyone who watched a particular video is similar to geofencing in that it makes everyone a suspect. And this, a number of experts and rights groups believe, is unconstitutional, i.e. in violation of the Fourth Amendment that protects from unreasonable searches. Forbes writes that it has had access to several orders that name certain YouTube videos, citing one unsealed case originating in Kentucky and having to do with people viewing content posted by a user who law enforcement suspects of money laundering for selling Bitcoin for cash. The nerve, the absolute nerve. Let's have a look. I think we've got a little more on this story. Undercover agents had contacted the user, sending links to drone mapping and AR tutorials to next turn to Google, asking to be told who watched the videos. The videos had more than 30,000 views, and a court ordered that any user who did between January the 1st and 8th, 2003, must be thoroughly unmasked. This is unprecedented, isn't it? That you can be unmasked for watching some content. This is enormous overreach. The order wanted names, addresses, phone numbers, and account activity of each Google user, and IP addresses of everyone who watched the videos without an account. That's 30,000 people. That's a considerable dragnet. People that just went, oh, I'm interested in Bitcoin. Well, if you didn't want to be spied on by the government, you shouldn't be interested in Bitcoin. If you've done nothing wrong, you've got nothing to hide. It's fair to expect that law enforcement won't have access to that sensitive personal information without probable cause, commented Electronic Privacy Information Center's John Davison. This order turns that assumption on its head. When the police asked for the order to be issued, they stated there is reason to believe that these records would be relevant and material to an ongoing criminal investigation. Well, yeah, I'm glad, according to your crazy perspective, as long as you see it that way. This is an interesting perspective from Greenwald on misinformation and how that term is being used, rather like this piece of, well, it's not even legislation, really, is it? It's a request to just spy in a very broad and seemingly unregulated way. Misinformation expert is a fake credential. Doesn't even exist as a credential. It was invented after 2016 to disguise political censorship as an act of neutral science. The idea that people like this can be floating arbiters of truth and falsity and their decrees should be binding is a laughable fraud. So, yeah, this is from a 60 Minutes piece that says, like, that Kate Starbird has the right to determine what is misinformation and malinformation. And let's just have a look at the last couple of years. The extraordinary migration from conspiracy theory to conspiracy fact. Carl Rhino in the Rumble chat. Yes, you are misinformation. You're misinformationing right now. Stop it. Let's have a look at this expert on misinformation on 60 Minutes.
Kate Starbird says the social media platforms also often ignored the researchers' suggestions.
The statistics I've seen are just for the Twitter platform, but my understanding is that they responded to about 30%.
Someone says, Russell, you need a probiotic to help you with your burping. I'll tell you what I do need. I'll tell you what I will take. Bioptimizers. Magnesium Breakthrough. Now, this is an all-natural supplement from our partners, Bioptimizers. It helps you reduce fatigue and sleep more peacefully. I can lay in bed thinking about corruption, hypocrisy, that you can't trust a single news story, but because I've got so much gorgeous magnesium floating around in my blood, I'm good as gold. You know how I like to take it? You know Gary Oldman in the film Leon? You know, you go like that, he goes, and clicks his neck and stuff. Except Gary Oldman, he don't drink water. You know, I'm going to sleep well tonight. Even though I know we live in a crazy and corrupt world, because of Bioptimizers magnesium, I'm going to sleep like a sweet, adorable baby. My baby actually don't sleep that well. He's up all the time bugging us. This strengthens your muscles. It improves your heart and brain function. If you want to feel more energized and get the best night's sleep you've had in your entire life, check out bioptimizers.com/brand. If you use our promo code, by the way, brand, you'll unlock all sorts of special offers. They'll know Will sent you. It'll make us look good. Aaron James, 001, poop well, Russell. It's going to be a beauty. I will not post it because then Google will have even more information about what we're up to over here. And I'm not going to give them that kind of inside data. So, two things to remember. Bioptimizers.com/brand and use the promo code brand because it is worth it. Let's see if I can get to the end of the show without any more burping. Tell us what you want us to cover over the rest of the show in the chat, guys. Do you want to see the Diddy story? Do you want to see some stuff on third-party candidates and how they're crushing third-party candidates and censoring them? It's really good stuff. Do you want to see Gutfeld talking about RFK? It's pretty fantastic. Do you want to see Al Gore lying through his beautiful pearly white gnashers about climate change as usual? Should we do? I think we should do the hero vid, guys. Can't we? It's got an ending on it. But would it matter too much, really? So I can have a little bit of a break because, I wouldn't mind a little moment. Yeah, just come out of it. Listen, let's have a look at this. I love this bit of reporting. It's brilliant. We're talking about, thank you. Let's get to the thing. Let's go to the hero video link. The hero video link, if you don't mind. Thank you. So, listen, what I like about this story is it shows you how complicated the world's become. The US have sent condolences to Russia around this terror attack, while simultaneously sending cluster bombs to Ukraine, which are, if Russians use them, considered to be an act of war criminality. Increasingly, as even this Baltimore Bridge story demonstrates, every breaking news story has to be considered as to whether or not it is a conspiracy theory. So, we already asked you earlier, who do you think conducted those events? Do you think it was conducted, as we are being told, by ISIS? And what are the origins of ISIS anyway? Is it possible that however you look at this, the CIA and Ukrainian deep state forces are involved? Here's the news. No. Here's the effing news.
Here's the fucking news.
After the terror attacks in Moscow, the legacy media immediately denied the possibility of Ukrainian involvement. After the US sent a warning that it would happen and then bizarre condolences after it happened, are any of us absolutely certain that this couldn't involve Ukrainian deep state forces and even the CIA? I mean, have they done anything like this before? If you consider that this attack has already been claimed by ISIS, and then you look at the origins of ISIS, there's already a fascinating story to be told, because guess who funds ISIS and significantly contributed to its creation?
President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
First of all, it's bizarre, isn't it, now that these World War stories are starting to collide, like a Marvel franchise movie ultimately coalescing in Avengers Endgames. We're getting protagonists from previous wars turning up in new ones. I mean, ISIS, I thought ISIS was over.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
But here ISIS are doing terror attacks in Moscow while the United States and NATO are still at least tangentially involved in peculiar forces fighting within Ukraine. It's odd. Also, you have the extraordinary phenomena of the US sending condolences and simultaneously sending cluster bombs. I mean, have a look at these stills. Firstly, there's Blinken condemns heinous Moscow attack and stands with the people of Russia. Poor people of Russia attacked by ISIS. US strongly condemns deadly terrorist attack in Russia, sends deepest condolences. Also, US sending Ukraine more cluster bombs as part of a new $300 million arms package. Just to remind you that the use of cluster bombs has been previously regarded as a war crime. When Russians do it, seems to be okay the other way around, though. And the reason they're particularly insidious as a combat tool is because cluster bombs can lay dormant for generations and then explode underneath, like, for example, innocent children. Let's have a look at how the legacy media is reporting on these Moscow terror attacks. Let's look at who has claimed responsibility for it, how that group is funded, and whether or not imperialist interests are in any way involved in this terror attack, and how come the legacy media was so quick to say, this was definitely ISIS, Ukraine are not involved. Of course, so far, over 130 people are dead and many people are injured. So ultimately, of course, whoever committed this atrocity, it is a tragic event and exposes, in a sense, the ridiculousness of war, where I think 500,000 Ukrainian troops have died. I don't know how many Russian troops have lost their lives. I don't know how many more people will yet lose their lives because of this war. And why are we discussing which types of violence warrant condolences and which types of violence warrant further funding? Let's have a look at the legacy media's reporting.
Investigators surveying the smouldering wreckage of the aftermath of the weekend massacre near Moscow. The full extent of the horror quickly made clear by a growing line of body bags. The attack comes after the US shared intelligence with Russia, warning that ISIS was planning to strike and advising its citizens to stay away from concert venues.
Some people see that as an indication of involvement. That is, of course, impossible to verify, but is also an indication of our total lack of trust in institutions of government and the media. And you can, of course, underwrite that lack of trust by pointing out, for example, the New York Times' involvement in the story around the 10 to 12 CIA bases that have been in Ukraine for the last 10 years, which they didn't report on until the CIA facilitated that reporting because it was convenient to get Republicans on board to sign off more arms shipments to Ukraine. So people being cynical when they hear something like that, it's not like, oh no, you're so cynical about everything, why don't you just believe what you're told? That's sort of, it could be argued, the correct condition to greet official information with.
Earlier this week, President Vladimir Putin dismissed the US warning as outright blackmail, but today he was seen leading his country in mourning. And despite the fact that ISIS has claimed responsibility, he used the opportunity to bolster support for his war in Ukraine, now entering its third year.
It would be naive, foolish even, to without question believe the perspective of Vladimir Putin and Russian propaganda. Of course, there's such a thing as Russian propaganda and a Russian agenda and Russian war crimes. So let's have a look at some reporting, which extraordinarily comes from the far left. It's a socialist news organization, and they help us to understand some of the ethnic complexity within Russia, former Russian imperialist projects that have left them vulnerable to an attack like this, the possibility that former occupants of Soviet territories are now working out of Ukraine, the complex nature of Ukrainian fighting forces, which, you know, of course, includes Nazi battalions. And what fascinates me is the legacy media's willingness to immediately say, this is definitely ISIS, it is only ISIS, in much the same way that when the Nord Stream pipeline blew up, they went, this was Russia that did this was definitely Russia. And even in the event where this is ISIS, ISIS-K specifically, the funding and foundation of ISIS is a story that, of course, involves the United States of America, the CIA, and extraordinary interventionism.
He's the founder.
Friday's terror attack at Crocus City Hall in Moscow, which killed at least 137 people and wounded over 180, is a dangerous new stage in the imperialist war against Russia. According to Russia's President Vladimir Putin, the perpetrators were captured on their way to the Ukrainian border, where a window had been prepared for them to cross into Ukraine. The four main suspects were identified as immigrants from Tajikistan, a desperately impoverished former Soviet republic in Central Asia. They have pleaded guilty and claimed to have acted on behalf
of as yet unidentified intermediaries for money. Even that sentence suggests there could be a degree of complexities for the origins and funding of this travesty. The Afghan-based Islamist terrorist group ISIS-K has claimed responsibility for the attack. The principal mouthpieces of US imperialism, the New York Times and the Washington Post, have promptly initiated a campaign to deny the involvement of the US and Ukraine in this attack. Both outlets immediately dismissed Putin's statement about a connection to Ukraine, citing unnamed US security officials. Without providing any evidence, they simply echoed the claims of the White House in Kiev, made almost as soon as the attack occurred, that neither the US nor Ukraine were involved. Whether or not the US or Ukraine were involved is not a claim that anybody's in a position to make right now. But similarly, no one can make the claim that they were not involved. And so far, we know that there was an advance warning from the US that potentially it fits the US-Ukrainian agenda. And it's extraordinary that the legacy media were so willing to immediately report, much in the same way that they were with the Nord Stream pipeline, that there was nothing to see here.
Okay, folks, show's over. Nothing to see here. Show's... Oh, my God! A horrible plane crash! Hey, everybody, get a load of this flaming wreckage! Come on, crowd around! Crowd around, don't be shy, crowd around.
How is it possible for the major US media outlets to immediately exclude any connection between this attack and a war raging between Russia and Ukraine with significant US involvement? In fact, their claims have no more credibility than their earlier denial of US and Ukrainian involvement in the bombing of the US-Russian Nord Stream gas pipeline. There have been many instances where US denials of culpability later proved to be false. This places the burden of proof on them to prove their innocence. The attack has the mark of the CIA and its proxies in Kiev all over it. We can't continue to bring you this glorious content without the support of our partners. And what great partners they are today. Debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in perennial debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. But thankfully, there's a new way out of the debt trap. Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest, find programs to write off your balances so you owe less, stop those threatening phone calls without bankruptcy and without a loan. The bottom line is they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Okay, let's get back to the content. The war propaganda in the media about the terrorist attack reveals its political purpose. The Times wrote with barely concealed glee that the attack was a blow to Mr. Putin's aura as a leader for whom national security is paramount. Now, the Times surmises Russians might ask whether Mr. Putin, with the invasion and his conflict with the West, truly has the country's security interests at heart, or whether he is woefully forsaking them, as many of his opponents say he is. That, I suppose, provides motive that this attack could be beneficial in destabilizing Russia, in the same way that we continually hear that there are Russian agencies and Chinese and Iranian agencies hacking into our social media sites in order to destabilize our nations by placing fake stories. Also, it would be naive not to consider the ideology of this news source that we're getting this from. It's obviously a leftist and socialist publication that have their own biases. That's why I believe that we should look at a variety of sources of information and try our best as individuals, as communities and people interested in free speech, free thought and freedom generally to arrive at conclusions independently. Taking an almost identical line, the Washington Post published a piece under the headline, "Terrorist Attack in Russia Exposes Vulnerabilities of Putin's Regime." It gloated that the attack smashed through Putin's efforts to present Russia as strong, united and resilient, and quoted a Moscow businessman criticising the lack of responsibility for security at large public events under Putin. A Moscow businessman. That's not a good enough source, is it, for a terrorist attack? You want a little bit more than that. What's his name and what's his business? I don't know. He had a suit and tie on. He had a Russian accent. Look, we're very busy at the New York Times. Can't go writing down everything we learn. It's already weird enough that the condolences from Antony Blinken are offered alongside cluster bombs to Ukraine. But the fact that these are sort of snidey bastard condolences that are immediately followed up with propagandist attacks. We're so sorry for that terrorist attack that exposes you as a little bit weak. You'd never do that to an individual, would you? So sorry that your dad died. Also, might want to buy a guard dog. Your house could get burgled now. It clearly serves a kind of propagandist purpose, even if it's opportunistic rather than instigated and enacted by deep state CIA forces working with Ukraine, for example, or even by ISIS-K that are funded and facilitated by the CIA. I mean, how many times have you heard stories about the FBI getting people together going, listen, wouldn't it be good to do a terrorist attack? Here's some money for the terrorist attack. You're under arrest for a terrorist attack. There is no reason for us not to speculate, is there? We're attacked even for this type of conjecture, even though within this conjecture, there is a good deal of reason. It's a good way to attack Putin. It suits their overall agenda. You can tell from the timbre of their reporting that they're sort of happy that it's happened. They do things like this all of the time. The CIA are already in Ukraine. There's legitimate reason for concern, isn't there? The same line was taken in the Financial Times, which declared that Russian allegations of Ukrainian responsibility served to deflect attention from gaps in Moscow's security system, which have widened since Putin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine 2 years ago. These condolences are starting to wear thin. We're so sorry. It's so terrible that you've gone through this. Exposes a lot of weaknesses in your defense system, doesn't it? But here's some flowers. We were told that the Ukrainian counteroffensive last spring was going to be successful. The only reason that we know that it was not going to be successful, and in fact, Ukrainian forces were, to use an idiom, on their asses, was because Jack Teixeira, a whistleblower, revealed caches of information on a bunch of chat sites that showed that Ukrainian forces were struggling, that privately American deep state forces and military forces were admitting this was an unwinnable war. So, of course, we're going to be cynical about the line that emerges in the legacy media and the official stance of the US military stroke military industrial complex. This is at least opportunistic and at worst potentially involves the deep state. But it's difficult to imagine that it doesn't, because ISIS came about as a result of, one, the phony invasion of Iraq looking for weapons of mass destruction, the involvement of the US training opponents of the then Soviet Union in Afghanistan. The CIA are all over stuff like this because they're always funding insurgent groups in order to support whatever their agenda is at that time. Then their agenda changes and they say, oh, they're a nuisance now, they're terrorists. So it's not mad to investigate this stuff. And the New York Times are saying, well, this is clearly ISIS and there's no need to investigate further. The New York Times were involved in the actual arrest of Jack Teixeira. They passed on information to the CIA, to the FBI. They participated in his actual arrest. And their relationship with the CIA when it came to those bases in Ukraine was similarly entwined. So you cannot trust the legacy media, full stop, and you have to investigate all sides of this story. It's quite possible, obviously, that Putin's saying, oh, Ukraine are involved because of his own agenda. But it's equally possible that the New York Times are lying to meet the agenda of the establishment of which they are a part. The claim that Putin was distracted by the Ukraine war does not refute US-Ukrainian involvement in the attack. Rather, it might have been a factor that led NATO plotters to believe that an attack had a high probability of success. Central to the imperialist propaganda about the supposed non-involvement of the US and Ukraine is the fact that ISIS-K has claimed responsibility for the attack. But the involvement of ISIS-K would not disprove Ukrainian and US involvement. On the contrary, ISIS-K is largely a creation of US imperialism and its decades-long wars in the Middle East and Central Asia. In 2021, the Wall Street Journal reported that US-trained intelligence agents and elite counterinsurgency troops were joining ISIS-K in Afghanistan. Tajikistan, from where the suspected terrorists hail, has long been entangled in the armed conflicts in Afghanistan, going back to the 1980s when the US trained and funded Islamist fundamentalists in its wars against the Soviet Union. So there's so much enmeshment and funding and training and confusion around this.
I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton.
I mean, we know that they accepted funding from groups that also fund ISIS, or nations in the case of Saudi Arabia. So geopolitics is more complicated than the New York Times is ever going to tell you, or any legacy media outlet ever going to tell you. And that's why Julian Assange is still being held in prison under extraordinary circumstances, because he revealed just caches of information about what actually happens in these conflicts. They're extremely embarrassing to very, very powerful forces. Even in the simplest, least tangential, gentle and conjecture-laden version of this, you, the US taxpayer, funded it because you participated through your CIA and deep state in the establishment of ISIS in the first place. Even if there's been no recent CIA or Ukrainian involvement, you would have no ISIS without the wanton expenditure of US tax dollars on interventionist wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. So even in the most vanilla version, ISIS is a CIA and American tax dollar creation. astonishing. In this context, the March 7th warnings by the US Embassy in Moscow of an impending major terrorist attack in Russia can only be interpreted as an attempt to create an alibi for the US in the lead-up to the operation of its proxies. The involvement of Ukrainian intelligence, which coordinates its day-to-day operations closely with NATO and the US, is also all but evident. In January 2023, The Times reported that nationalist and far-right elements from across the former Soviet Union, including Russia's North Caucasus and Central Asia, had flocked to Ukraine to fight in NATO's war against Russia. As The Times wrote, most of them harbour long-term political ambitions to return home and overthrow the Russian and Belarusian governments. The volunteers themselves say that they are acting with the foreknowledge and under the orders of the Ukrainian army and intelligence services. Many of their operations are covert, including dangerous reconnaissance or sabotage missions behind Russian lines. That's The Times' reporting that suggests that because of, you know, Russia do have a version of imperialism, do have their own, sort of, inverted commas, domestic enemies. So that's further evidence that there's some connection between deep state forces, either Ukrainian or US, and these attacks. And I suppose because of the constant meddling and unleashing of wild forces in an irresponsible way. And just days before the Moscow terror attack, The Times hailed Russian neo-Nazis, which were openly backed by Ukraine's military intelligence agency, for an incursion of the country during the presidential elections as rebellious Russians. Daring attacks, The Times wrote, could help undermine the sense of stability in Russia and divert the country's military resources from Ukraine. My newly remembered conspiracy theory analytic is, would they do it? Could they do it? Would you know if they had done it? If you can answer yes to the first two and no to the third, it's worth contemplating. It sounds like it's entirely plausible. It's not beyond their moral remit, and at this point, we wouldn't know for sure anyway. So just accepting what the New York Times has told you would seem to be an unappealing option. The line of argument developed by The Times and rebroadcast in the world's press reveals the political purpose of the terrorist operation. With NATO's proxy forces in Ukraine facing a military debacle, the terror attack in Moscow was part of the efforts to open up a second front in the war with Russia itself. The aim is threefold. First, to embolden opposition to the Putin regime with the oligarchy and state apparatus. Second, to provoke a military response by the Kremlin that can serve as the pretext for a further escalation of the war by NATO. And third, to foster ethnic and religious tensions within Russia that would destabilize the regime and facilitate the carve-up of the entire region by the imperialist powers. I mean, that's an extraordinary agenda right there. It opens another front, it escalates the war with NATO, it fosters ethnic and religious tensions within Russia that destabilize the regime. When you recognize that the discourse in your country, my country, often includes insurgent and insurrectionist attempts within our nation purportedly from those nations, it's unlikely, naive in fact, to imagine that the United States and other NATO members are not involved in comparable ventures, particularly when we now have the Julian Assange information, the Edward Snowden information, the Jack Teixeira information. We know that there are all manner of projects of war and provocation that we're funding and are never told about. While over 70% of Russia's population of about 140 million are ethnic Russians, the country is home to over 190 ethnic groups. Muslims comprise at least a tenth of the population. Many of them live in a few largely Muslim republics, as well as in the North Caucasus, where the Kremlin has waged two brutal wars against Chechen separatists between 1994 and 2009. In addition, there are some 17 million immigrants living in Russia who mostly come from former Soviet republics such as Tajikistan and belong to the most exploited sections of the working class. The social basis and politics of the oligarchic Putin regime make it highly vulnerable to the machinations of the imperialist powers. Its invocation of the great Russian chauvinism and nationalism serves to disorientate, divide and demobilize the working class and ultimately aids the imperialist war aims. So ultimately, this publication isn't pro-Putin either, describing him as an oligarch and an enemy to the working class that this publication plainly supports. There is a real danger that the Putin regime and other right-wing forces will try to direct the popular shock toward the targeting of different national and ethnic communities while stepping up state repression. Already on Saturday, Moscow police launched raids of immigrant living quarters, and social media reports indicated a developing boycott of predominantly Tajik cab drivers. The Moscow terrorist attack is a dangerous and criminal escalation of a war that has already claimed hundreds of thousands of lives. The recklessness of the imperialist powers is staggering. While backing the cold-blooded genocide of the Palestinians in Gaza by Israel, they're encouraging violent national and ethnic conflicts in Russia and risk the deployment of nuclear weapons by the Putin regime. When you look at this story, the condolences and the cluster bombs, the people of Russia suffering too under a corrupt regime, Putin's corrupt regime, when you notice the involvement of forces that are either historically created by the US taxpayers, hard-earned money redirected by deep state duplicity, or whether it's the more recent engagement by deep state forces in provocation inside Russia and from within Ukraine, start to recognize that we've created a really complicated, baffling, and unpleasant world, and that there's such requirement for reform and an honest reckoning and reorganization of the principles of government at the national and global level, that to be caught up in either frivolous, superfluous, sensationalist stories, or to be bound up in the uniparty debates about Republicans versus Democrats, is a kind of waste of time. As mentioned here, we do stand on the precipice of potential nuclear war, and what's plain is that there's a lack of moral clarity throughout this conflict. Funding continues, diplomacy disrupted, potential for nuclear war ignored, potential that conflicts past are rising like zombies from the grave to continue and exacerbate conditions in this war. Don't you recognise now, as I'm starting to, the necessity for a real evaluation on how global business is conducted? Something as pastoral and simple as American nativism. And by that, I don't mean any form of racism or bigotry, just the idea that America will go, do you know what? We're going to withdraw from all international conflicts, focus on this country. Part of that is going to be we're going to really keep an eye on our borders, particularly only allowing legal and formal migration. But part of the pact is we are not going to dabble through war or commerce in the business of other nations. And where that intercedes and interrupts the interests of global corporations, like, for example, Apple or Amazon, we'll just have to accept that. And where that disables and disrupts the military-industrial complex in order to favour ordinary Americans, we're just going to do that. We're going to focus on America. And wouldn't the UK be better off focusing on our domestic problems and supporting our farmers and making our nation fully autonomous and fully independent? Isn't nativism and a divestment of global power the only answer? Because you can see that just in a 20, 30-year period with the Iraq, Afghanistan, and now this conflict, there's a real viper's nest of complexity unfolding that could very easily lead to World War III and the annihilation of all of us, just because it's such a bloody mess that involves so much lies and so much treachery. So shouldn't we, like, just withdraw from this war and stop funding it, demand a peaceful solution, stop funding the escalation of events in the Middle East, come to some sort of arrangement with China, and focus on the many evident and obvious problems in our own countries? I think we should, but that is, of course, just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments below? If you enjoyed this video, have a look at either of these. Remember, click that button and become a member of our community to get access to additional videos. For the next month, you can have 1 month free to decide whether or not you want to join us. You can cancel at any time. There's a link in the description if you want to take advantage of that offer. More important than any of that, if you can, please stay free.
Don't be dissing my outfit, yo.
No, I'm not on yet.
No. Yay! We're back! We're back! What do you think of my outfit? Russell's jacket looks a bit like a tin pot dictator. Only the beanie spoils the image. How dare you? You like hurting people, do you? Do you like hurting people? Do you like it? Do you like it, Ashtatoich? The US government always plays both sides. That's one day corruption. Day one corruption, excuse me. Dixie Shank, ooh, the big bad Putin monster gonna get us. And then Kyriacian, it's all sleight of hand, so people in the USA can make money off arms. Banana for sale! Banana for sale! Oh, cooler. CIA tentacles are everywhere. Now, Rue and Al Gore was making all those films. I think they were called things like An Inconvenient Roof. The stuff like that. We all trusted him. We were so sweet, naive, and adorable. Kirk Theo, do the voice. What voice? Which voice do you want me to do? Awaken Wonders, your community is thriving. You are thriving over there. No wonder when you get an exclusive video every single week, when you get 1 month, you look like Big Bird. Don't criticize me. Don't you criticize me. I think I look all right. I think I look good. Mellow yellow, says Trish McLeod. You get 1 month free using the code God is great. You get a brilliant video on long COVID. You get a great video on chemtrails. You get to join us for upcoming guests like Alex Berenson and Neil Oliver. You could have joined us live for those conversations. You get 25% off of this. I mean, you can have that anyway. You get 25% off this if you want to buy it. I like it. I think it might be my favorite thing. Now, Jimmy Dore, friend of the show, loyal, strong man, a man who came straight on our show when I was in the middle of what you might call a media storm, a media takedown, a coordinated attempt to destroy our community that will not be allowed to work. Jimmy Dore posted this about Al Gore. Tell me, are you put D in the chat if you're door. Put G in the chat if you're gore. Man Bear Pig is really scary, says Noel Prost. I loved Man Bear Pig. What an episode. What geniuses they are. So, yeah, D for door, G for gore. When Al Gore advocates banning private jet travel and closing down 800 US military bases that are spread over the globe, then I'll know he's serious about reducing carbon emissions. Until then, I'm going to treat him like a liar who is trying to manipulate me and using fear of climate change to do it. These are good points. Wide Awake Media says the temperatures will stop going up right away if we reach net zero. If we don't take action, there could be as many as 1 billion climate refugees crossing international borders for the next several decades. So do you think that even migration is being used now in a manipulative way? Do you think so? Well, they used any subject. Do you remember they used to say that there was good migration? I thought, I'm picking up good migrations. She giving me good migration. Let's have a look at Al Gore on CNN with Jake Tapper, not really giving him much in the way of inquiry. It's more like verbal fellatio.
2023, officially the hottest year on record. Deadly heat waves, catastrophic floods, devastating wildfires, more powerful storms. We've gotten dangerously close to the one.
Al Gore, the whole way through. Yep, that's been happening. Yep, I saw that. Yep, that's been happening. Nope.
1.5 degrees Celsius threshold beyond which experts say humanity and the planet will struggle to adapt.
Well, we still have the ability to seize control of our destiny. Here's the good news, Jake. If we stop,
if we do exactly as I say,
adding to the overburden of these greenhouse gas pollutants in the sky, if we reach what they call true net zero and stop adding to the heat trapping capacity.
I'm going to stop you there, Al. Just let me ask you about this. Is it true that your eco-friendly investment firm owns shares in polluting companies? The green-friendly investment firm, co-founded and run by Al Gore, owns a portfolio of more than $26 billion worth of shares in nearly two dozen companies that were found to have increased greenhouse gas emissions in recent years. Well, Al, so private jet travel, that could be banned. Military bases around the world, why? Because what's the significance of the military? Who's the world's biggest polluters? The Pentagon is the world's biggest single greenhouse gas emitter. That's astonishing, isn't it? It's the largest institutional fossil fuel user in the world. Since 2001, the military has been responsible for 77 to 80% of the federal energy consumption. The DOD maintains more than 560,000 buildings and about 500 bases around the world. So didn't Jimmy Dore just nail that in a single post? Is it just a simple fact that we can trust Dore more than Gore? Dore more than Gore? Now, we can't leave you, even though we've got a lot to do here, without covering Diddy, because otherwise you'll be upset that we didn't cover it. As you know, because of my own recent media attacks and incredibly vile accusations, one thing I like to mention is innocent until proven guilty. It seems that what of you lot are incredibly interested in is whether or not Diddy is part of a Epstein-style network that includes other super famous people. And indeed, when the Epstein stuff came out, what appeared to interest most of you was how it was interconnected and interwoven with power. Now, if we can rely on one person to speak freely and openly on the subject of Diddy, we saw Cat Williams, the sort of harbinger, the John the Baptist in this scenario. Now, here's Kanye, and you know that Ye is always pretty keen to compare himself to the Messiah. I met Ye a couple of times. I met Puffy. I've done a movie with Puppy. I'm doing a stream right now with his little puppy. And, let's have a look at Kanye on Diddy. Let's check this out. Let me know if you've seen this already. It's pretty interesting.
Kidnap my daughter in public, and I didn't have the address of my child. None of these niggas that want to say something
Travis
now.
Travis gave you the address, though?
Travis gave me the address. Right. But as far as Meek Mills, no. Puff Daddy, whoever, none of these niggas. All you fake hard niggas, fuck you.
Hold on.
Okay. All you.
My favorite bit is that when he goes, well, actually, he tries to interject the interviewer. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. But then he just carries on much more N-word motherfucker stuff. It's unbelievable.
Fake hard niggas, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck because you can't shoot nobody anyway. And the reason why you got talks is because you did a deal, you fucking fed. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got to come at me because part of the deal for you to be a do all that and get out of jail is that you promise that you're going to go pull my co-car. So y'all niggas shut the fuck up about me. Now, let me say it calm. You niggas shut the fuck up about... You shut the fuck up about Michael.
Kanye, come on the show. Kanye, come on the show. Did he fed? Is that what's at the heart of this? Because I remember when I was in a whirlwind series of legacy media attacks alleging some deplorable things about me, which you know I strenuously deny, I remember thinking, whoa, this is pretty heavy. This is pretty heavy. Russell Brand, strange didn't give the full quote. What is the full quote you're referring to, Chip Henson? We'll give the full quote. We've got to get off of here. Get off the fence, Kanye. Yeah, Kanye, he don't hold back, does he? He don't hold back. Listen, guys, we got to fly because we're recording an interview now that's, it's good. It ain't, yay. Kanye, come on the show if you want to. But we've got to jump off. We've got so much content. We've got so much more to tell you. But you didn't say all the words he said. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to say... I don't use the N-word. I don't use the N-word. I would never say that word. I think it's offensive. Of course. What? And who benefits? Who benefits from that? So, listen, we're going to do an amazing interview. You're going to love it when you see it. It's one of those interviews that's going to change the narrative. It's a shocker. It's a surprise. It's astonishing. And if you want to become an awakened wonder right now, use the code... God is great. You will get 1 month free. You can cancel any time. That's how confident we are in what we're doing in this movement. That's why I wear a yellow hoodie. That's why I believe in what we do. Join us. Join our movement. We'll see you tomorrow, not with more of the same, but with more of the different. Until then, if you can, stay free. Switch on.